All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and get started here. If we could quiet down. 6 o'clock, so just out of respect for everybody's time, I want to try and get started promptly here. Thank you very much for coming tonight. This is the first neighborhood meeting for the property owner's request regarding the former golf club at Vistoso property. Got a pretty good crowd here tonight. We've got about 25 folks online, so you'll see as we move through the evening, we're working with both folks online on Zoom as well as people here in the room. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Michael Spaeth. I'm a principal planner with the town of Oro Valley. I'm going to be wearing two hats tonight. I'm going to be the town's primary project reviewer when we get a formal submittal, but I'm also going to be facilitating tonight's meeting, so I'm going to be wearing both hats. As a facilitator, I want you to know that I am neutral, and I want to conduct a fair meeting and want to make sure everybody here feels comfortable participating. That's one of my primary goals. Another couple of goals that we have is we're really here to hear your feedback. We're, of course, going to give some information about the applicant's project, or the applicant is, and then I'll give a little bit of information on the town review process, but we're really here to hear from you folks. So I want to make sure that everybody leaves tonight's meeting with an understanding of the applicant's proposal, as well as some of the upcoming public meeting dates that we're going to have as the project moves forward. And then hopefully, through our conversation, maybe we can identify some areas where maybe you have some concerns, and maybe there are some resolutions that can be worked out to try and mitigate those concerns as much as possible. So as a facilitator, that's what I'm going to try and accomplish this evening. I did want to just start the meeting out with some ground rules. Hopefully you were able to grab a handout with those as you entered. They're also on the screen behind me here. There's about 7 or 8 of them. Essentially what it boils down to is just be respectful of one another, be respectful of presenters, be respectful of each other. We're here to try and have as much of a constructive conversation as possible. So we would just ask that everybody abide by those rules. Does everybody feel comfortable with those ground rules? A nod or a thumbs up is perfectly fine. Great. All right. So a few housekeeping things. If you haven't already silenced your cell phones, please do so, out of respect for everyone in the room. For those who aren't familiar with town campus, outside the doors you just came in and to the right, we have both drinking fountains and restrooms. So anytime you need to use either of those during tonight's meeting, please feel free to do that at your leisure. For those of you on Zoom, I know you can see me, but you can't talk at the moment. Your microphones are muted and will remain muted until we get to the question period of tonight's meeting, and I'll provide a little bit more information on how to participate on Zoom once we reach that part of the meeting. If you are having trouble on Zoom and you need help, please contact Alexandra Chavez, at 4814-520-229. 4814, and she can try and help you as much as possible. Can I see a show of hands of folks here this evening that received a little yellow postcard? Okay, pretty good amount, so about half of you. So if you got that postcard, that means you're already on our notification list. So regardless of what happens with this project moving forward, when we send out more notices, you will also receive a yellow postcard for that. If you didn't raise your hand and didn't receive a yellow postcard, and hopefully you signed in on the sign-in sheets over here as you came in, that means you will be added to our notification list, so you can stay up to date of all the upcoming meetings that we'll have as the project moves forward. I would also like to introduce a great resource. If you're not familiar with it, it's called ovprojects.com. That's a website that the town runs, and this project has its own web page on that website. That has a lot of background information on the project. It has an informational video that both staff and the applicant put together to try and introduce the project to folks leading up to this meeting. And as we get a formal submittal and updated information throughout this process, we will continuously upload those documents to that website. So I strongly encourage you to bookmark that on your iPad or web browser, whatever it is you use, to frequent it so that you can go and check it frequently to be able to stay up to date on the project. We are scheduled to go to 7:30 this evening. We'll try and get to every question that everybody has. Of course, if we go past 7:30, I know the staff and the applicant always are available afterwards if there are remaining questions that have not been answered. So code requires this neighborhood meeting to happen early in the process. You've probably heard me mention a couple times we don't have a formal submittal at this point. The zoning code requires this meeting to happen before that submittal occurs to help inform and shape what that formal submittal looks like. So we're holding this meeting before we even have that. It is important to point out that this is the property owner's request. It is not the town's. We, as the town, are required to provide due process when we get an application, which is why we're here this evening. But again, ultimately, it's the applicant and the applicant's representatives to seek, create, and justify why their project should be approved from commission and council. So keep that in mind as we're moving through our meeting this evening. So as I stated previously, tonight's agenda, there's really three parts to it, and it's all geared towards hearing from you. So first, I'm going to provide a brief overview of the applicant's project, a little bit about the upcoming meeting dates, what review criteria we as town staff use to evaluate these types of applications. And then I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Linda Morales, who is representing the property owner, and she's going to give a presentation about what the what and why, if you will, of their request. Going to provide a little bit more detail on that. And then we're going to turn it over to you folks. And we're going to have kind of a question and answer session. Of course, you can have opinions and comments and questions. You know, because we're on the front end of this process, it is really now is the most opportune time to try and have effectuate change on these types of applications. So I strongly encourage you to participate in that question and comment period. And again, hopefully try and identify some areas that maybe there could be some resolution to try and mitigate any concerns that folks might have. And then I'll finish up with just some upcoming meetings so that everybody's familiar with what the next steps in the process are. So I do ask that you please hold those questions until both staff and the applicant are completed with their presentations, and I promise there will be plenty of time to be able to get as many questions in as possible. So just want to quickly start with where we are in the process. Supposed to have that up, excuse me. So again, there is an informational video that was posted on ovprojects.com at the end of last month. If you haven't seen that, I strongly encourage you to go do so because it does answer a lot of the common questions and frequent questions that we've heard from folks since postcards have gone out. Obviously, we're here at the first neighborhood meeting tonight, and folks are also participating online on Zoom. And then we do expect a formal submittal in the near future, again, taking into account some of the conversation that we have this evening. Once that formal submittal is received, staff will work with the applicant on achieving code compliance, and that'll be a couple of rounds of back and forth, typically, to try and get to where we are code compliant. And then once that is achieved, we'll ask the applicant to bring that back, and we'll have another follow-up neighborhood meeting where it's their opportunity to really present their revised design and also touching on where they've revised that design to address some of the comments, questions, or concerns that we heard tonight, okay? And ultimately, what ends up happening is both applications require public hearings before the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as Town Council. So you'll have an opportunity at both neighborhood meetings, and then both public hearings are opportunities for public input as well. So I do want folks to understand there's a number of opportunities to participate throughout this process. So for those who aren't familiar, the subject property is outlined here in yellow. Of course, it is the former clubhouse site for the golf club at Vistoso and the associated buildings that were with that. It's just on the south side of Vistoso Highlands Drive, and of course is immediately adjacent to the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve, shown in green there. And for reference, you can see the little blue star where the old clubhouse was. The applicant's proposal really has three components to it. The first is a rezoning application for the area shown in blue, kind of sandwiched between the red and the yellow. That rezoning is a request to change the zoning designation from natural open space to recreational open space. Again, the applicant's going to provide a little bit more detail during their presentation, but they're requesting to change it to a designation that is similar to a lot of the other recreation or park spaces in Rancho Vistoso, if you're familiar with those. The second component is for a development and landscape plan for both the red and blue areas. that is shown on screen here. That has six buildings that total 132 units with a maximum building height of 30 feet and two stories. There are two access points onto Vistoso Highlands Trail, or drive, as well as a clubhouse and swimming pool in the blue area. The third component, if you will, is some of the proposed development on the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve property. Those include two things. The portion outlined in yellow is a public trailhead that will be designed to serve the preserve itself. As part of the draft master plan for that preserve, there has been a trailhead envisioned in this portion of the old golf course along Vistoso Highlands Drive, and so the idea is that this trailhead would be in close proximity to that to be able to coordinate those two designs. The other component is the black area shown to the south or southwest of the applicant's property, and that is really some associated parking and drainage facilities that were are going to be provided as part of the applicant's proposal. So I did want to just quickly touch on some of the background on site history for this property. The property itself was zoned high-density residential, or HDR, the red portion there, was zoned high-density residential as part of the Rancho Vistoso PAD way back in 1987. So it's important to note that as part of that original zoning when Rancho Vistoso was approved, apartments or multifamily residential units are a permitted use as part of that zoning. So those are already allowed on the portion shown in red here. In fact, that zoning allows up to 133 units based on the acreage, as well as a maximum building height of 34 feet or three stories. So that's already entitled within the existing zoning for the portion shown in red. Of course, this site in 1994 was part of the former golf club at Vistoso that has now come and gone. And then it was most recently, of course, part of the conversation and settlement agreement that established the Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve in 2001. And so as part of that agreement between the four parties, Romsman, the property owner this evening, the Conservation Fund and the town, there was a settlement agreement that was approved as part of that reconciliation to make sure that the process of purchasing the park and preserve could go through. And so essentially what that settlement agreement is it's kind of a legal agreement that was required because there were some potential legal issues surrounding the park and preserve. And so that agreement was required for those parties to be able to get that approval or effectuate the sale of that property. So that's where that came from. As part of that agreement, it limited the number of approved units that could be built on this site to 132 as opposed to the 133 that zoning allows. And it also limited the building height from three stories down to two stories. So it did kind of bring that development potential down a little bit. As part of that also is the agreement that a portion up to 1.5 acres of the Vistoso Preserve property could be used for associated parking and drainage facilities. And so that's why you see as part of the applicant's proposal that area that was outlined in black on the prior slide using that 1.5 acres to serve what they're proposing this evening. Again, the applicant is going to provide a little bit more detail during her presentation. Of course, the settlement agreement also had other general terms and conditions that were laid out that established the creation of the preserve itself. As far as staff review goes, we will be reviewing the applicant's proposal against the draft Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve Master Plan, again, to make sure that those are designed comprehensively and go hand in hand. We'll also be looking at that settlement agreement and making sure that everything that they're proposing is in conformance with what was agreed upon as part of that settlement agreement. We'll be reviewing for conformance with both the general plan, specifically conformance with the surrounding areas. Obviously, there's a lot of neighborhoods in that area, and so we want to make sure that compatibility is thoroughly addressed as part of that request. And then we'll also be looking for conformance with the Rancho Vistoso Planned Area Development Standards, as well as any applicable town zoning code standards, specifically those related to cultural resources, as I know that's been a focus for some folks in the area, as well as just design principles and design standards that might apply to their development. So with that, I will turn it over to Ms. Morales and let her do her presentation.
Good evening, everyone. Ooh, that was really a lot louder than I thought. I, like Mike said, I'm Linda Morales. I'm with the Planning Center, and I think I probably saw a lot of you on Zoom a few years back when I was representing Vistoso on this overall golf course, and so this is kind of where the project's evolved and where we end up today. So I have a new client, Mr. Rolney, Ross Rolney, who is in the back of the room there. And also with me, I have Kevin Hall, who is our civil engineer. I got Barack Bacut, who is our architect, and Daniel Bradshaw, who is also with the Planning Center, and he is our landscape architect. And so the Planning Center is a local consulting firm. We do planning and landscape architecture and do a lot of work up here in Oro Valley. And so, like Mike said, we're representing this project on two parts, on the rezoning of the one piece, and then the overall project, and working with the team to process the development plan on the entire proposal. So again, there's the two parcels that we have as part of this project. And oh, of course, the little clicker doesn't work on the screen, does it? Okay. Well, we'll just have to describe it. So the smaller piece that you see on the west is the one that requires a rezoning. The rest of the site, again, as Mike said, has been in the Vistoso PAD since the beginning, since the PAD was originally established as high-density residential. And so that process or property, again, was part of the Vistoso golf course that was closed. It was part of the Romspin agreement or the Romspin holdings that they had, that they, in 2020, were looking to do a general plan amendment and a rezoning for several different pieces of that golf course, was the proposal, if you'll recall back at the time. This piece was never part of that proposal for an amendment because it was already zoned, but I know we talked a lot about that parcel at the time that was part of their holdings. Well, again, as Mike said, there was a settlement agreement that happened when the Conservation Fund came in and made the possibility of the town being able to acquire the former golf course land. And they brought that to them, long story short, and I was not privy to any of those negotiations. I wasn't part of that, but there was a settlement agreement that came about, and this piece was integral to that settlement agreement for Romspin to be able to sell this piece to Mr. Rolney for development was what helped that whole settlement agreement come together and make that deal happen. As Mike, I think, mentioned, that is on the website. There's the press release on that agreement that happened in February of 2021 on that OV projects. And 22, sorry, I'm like a year behind. 20, and just last February, and 22. And so that is there. It's like a 5-page press release. So if you want some more information, please go on there, and it'll kind of explain the background of that, of how this came together. So again, that is our project site. Just to orient everyone, Vistoso Highlands Drive is on our north, and then you see the fairway, and then off kind of to our southwest is where the restrooms and sort of that trailhead if area, and then further west is where the driving range is. So again, this is the piece that is in need of rezoning. And the reason this piece has always been a part of the PAD, of a Rancho Vistoso PAD, but it's zoned as open space in that. It was not part of that settlement agreement, however, because that was not a Romspin-owned piece. It was not owned as part of the former golf course. It had a third party. And Ross was able to come in and purchase that So there wasn't this, you know, just a little sliver of land in between that and the conservation fund land. So that balanced out the project and allowed it to kind of round that off and make the project a better project as far as having room for some more amenities and open space and to be able to achieve the 132 units that was, again, outlined in that agreement. So that's how that came to be and why it wasn't part of the original settlement agreement, if you will. So that's just under 7/10 of an acre, and then the rest of the site is a little over 6 acres. So we're about just under 7 acres for those two parcels. And so again, as Mike had mentioned, the PAD has it as open space. Open space has one use, open space. And so in order to be able to use that for the project, we are proposing to change that to the open space recreation category. And that would allow us to have only recreational and ancillary uses to recreation in there. So none of the apartment buildings would be able to go in that. It would solely be for the recreational use and the associated parking for the proposed apartment community. So that is the thought process there. It allows that transition as you're going to the west toward the conservation fund controlled land and what's is now on its way to becoming the preserve. So this is the site plan, and again, we are proposing 132 multifamily units. It's made up of 7 different buildings throughout the site. Again, those are all on that site that was already zoned, if you will, or designated by the PAD as high-density residential. They're, again, 2 stories. That was a limitation from the 3 that would have been allowed by right under the PAD before. So that was the concession that Mr. Rolney gave on that to make sure that we're more keeping with the area and trying to fit in with, as far as building heights go. And then you see in the area that's the proposed rezoning, that piece where you see the bright blue, that is our recreation center for the community. And this would be, it's not a public recreation, public park by any means. It would just be private for the use by the residents. So recreation, clubhouse, and a pool. And then you see the parking that would be like the visitor parking or if residents want to, you know, drive over there if they don't want to walk to the clubhouse or the pool. So that is that area. That's the rezoning. And then you see a couple of other things. And so I wanted to touch real quickly on, again, the settlement agreement. One of the caveat or one of the covenants of that was that there was the ability for this development to use up to about an acre and a half of property outside of the parcel that's part of the conservation area owned land, the conservation fund's land, or the what would eventually be town land. So that is again outlined in that agreement, and that is the area that you see on the south that's labeled as tenant parking. So parking was one of the things that could go in there, as well as drainage facilities, some recreation facilities, which you see we did not do because we did that and were able to put that on the other piece. But we just have some parking for the tenants. And then the landscaped area that you see just to the south of that is actually some drainage basins where the runoff can go and capture that water. It's proposed to be landscaped, very natural looking. And that is all occurring on area that was former golf course fairway. So we're not tearing up any new desert. You can see it's kind of, there's a notch where right in the middle of that basin area toward the south of the parking. And that is a rocky outcropping that exists now. And so we're leaving that as open space and wrapping that drainage basin around. So that was a challenge we had for our civil engineer to make that work and still be able to leave that as open space. There is an existing golf course trail or pathway, walking trail now, that runs through the area that is labeled as tenant parking. We will move that to the south so that that connection still occurs. And that's that gray line that you see down there that says new sidewalk. Again, going back to the community plan, there's, again, the seven buildings. It is not proposed to be gated. We will have multiple driveways. As you can see, we have a driveway on the east side, and then the one on the west that comes into the area that is the recreation area. And, again, no gates. It'll be open. There will be a landscape border that goes along Rancho Vistoso, or I'm sorry, Vistoso Highlands, and you know, using natural and drought-tolerant vegetation to beautify that along the streetscape. I know it's very nice along the drive now, so we'll be in keeping with all of that, as well as the sidewalk that runs through there. And then the parking in this throughout the site, if you see areas of parking spaces that are a little darker shaded, those are proposed to be covered spaces, and then the rest are non-covered. So the apartments that we're proposing are really aimed more at the renters by choice, the ones that are coming in. And I'm getting there. I'll explain it. So renters by choice tend to be those that that don't want to have the burdens, if you will, of single home ownership. Maybe they're professionals that are transitioning from one job to another. Maybe they're trying out the area and see if they like it before they buy. That's what we define as the renters by choice. It's definitely an upscale type of a community, and it will definitely be in keeping. We do not have the architectural renderings at this stage, but we will be doing those and presenting those to the Vistoso Design Review Committee, as well as in future hearings and some of those meetings that Mr. Spaeth talked about. So very, very much going to be showing you that architecture as we go through the project. They are 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. And again, there's 132 of those. Let's see, what else did I not touch on? Oh, and so then there's one other key component that we've been working with and in a lot of discussions with both Parks and Recreation and with the town's Parks and Recreation and with the Conservation Fund. And part of the Vistoso Preserve master plan for the entire preserve area had a parking lot for the preserve that was about 30 spaces. And it, in their plans, was proposed just west. If you go just due west of where you see the parking lot now. So we have a recreation area, and then we have trailhead parking of 30 spaces. And that is just outside of our western border. And this is something that Mr. Rolney has agreed to include in his project as part of that. But they had a different parking lot that was further west. So we got together and talked about the pros and cons of all those different, you know, plans, and agreed that the best way to do that and the most efficient way and the way that would provide good trailhead parking, good connections to the trailhead, and also not disturb any of the significant cultural areas and not disturb a lot more of the desert, is to put that right adjacent to the proposed project. So you see that has its own entrance off of Vistoso Highlands, comes in, we've got angled parking in there, we've got a drop-off space, and it does connect into the proposed multifamily project, into the clubhouse, and circulates around there. So that is the trailhead. Again, touching on the cultural, because I know some people had some questions about that. There are significant cultural resources in the area. It's been studied by both our archaeologist, Rom Spence archaeologist, and who is the same, and then the Conservation Fund has their own archaeologist. And they've all agreed that this proposed site, all the area and all the proposed disturbance is outside those most sensitive areas, those areas that they've outlined that need to be preserved. So those are all down further about where you see Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve, that label just above the legend that says notes. that is where those more sensitive cultural areas have been mapped. So all of our disturbance is well outside of those areas. And so again, with that, Ed is, I'd like to save a lot more of the time for questions and comments, and I'll kick it back to Mike unless you have anything specific for me. Yeah.
I'm sure
they will. All right, yeah, I'll hop back up. All right.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Morales. So now we get to the most important, most important part of the evening. As I said, we're really geared towards wanting to hear from you folks and get your feedback and any questions and comments you might have. So couple of rules. If you've got more than one question, that's great. We'll try and circle back, time permitting. But if we have a lot of questions, please be respectful and give others an opportunity who haven't had a chance to ask a question. And of course, again, we will be here afterwards too if there are remaining questions that haven't been addressed. So this goes for the applicant as well as staff. If you hear us use jargon or an acronym that is unclear, please don't hesitate to raise your hand and we'll try and figure out another way to rephrase what we're trying to get across so that it's more understandable. Ms. Jessica Hind, our esteemed constituent services coordinator, is going to be assisting us this evening. She's going to be walking around with the microphone. Please, I ask that you hold off asking your question until you have the microphone in front of you, because the folks on Zoom will not be able to hear you unless you have the microphone. So for their sake, please wait till you have that microphone in front of you. And on that note, we are also letting folks on Zoom ask questions as well. So you'll see me bouncing back and forth to try and provide an equitable opportunity for folks on there who might have questions and balance that with folks here in the room. So we'll be doing that. So I appreciate your patience in advance. You'll also notice that Ms. Sims over here with the laptop is going to be tracking all of the questions and comments that we get tonight. So at some point, the Lucid program is going to pop up on one of these screens here, and you'll see that we're tracking those for a number of reasons. One, we want to be able to put those on the website so that folks who weren't here this evening can see what the conversation was about. We also take that and we actually use it to help formulate a staff recommendation down the road. And then those are also forwarded to both the commission and council so that they have all of that information with them so that they can see what that conversation revolved around while we were here this evening. So you'll see that pop up here in a minute. I guess with that note, go ahead as the facilitator, put my other hat back on, and we'll start on this side of the room. So if you've got a question, please raise your hand and I'll ask Ms. Hind to come over, and then folks on Zoom. Oh, actually, before I do that, I'm sorry. I wanted to give some instructions for folks on Zoom. So if you're unfamiliar with Zoom, I've put a slide up here on the screen. Depending on what device you're on, whether it's an iPad or an Android or computer, you should see a little raise hand option here that you is outlined in yellow. You may have to select the three little dots that say more to be able to use that function. Essentially, what that will do is when you raise your hand, it's going to populate to the top of my list on my iPad over here, so I'll be able to see who has questions online. If you're on a cell phone, you'll need to hit *9 on your phone to make sure that you can raise your hand. And then, of course, when you're called upon, please make sure that you're unmuted. On a phone, you need to hit *6 to do that. Of course, on an iPad or computer, you can just unmute yourself. So with that, Ms. Hind, if you wouldn't mind.
My name is Alan Amici. I live over on Keystone Springs Drive. And I think one of the issues that may be on many people's minds here is traffic. So my first question is, was there a traffic study done, traffic counts, anybody who walks down Vistosa Highlands Drive during the day, which I'm one of those people, knows that it's a very busy place, and cars go fast.
Yes, sir, that is part of our process that we're working on now as we're putting our application together, and I did read the emails that I got and heard the comments, so we will provide more information on that.
I'll hold the mic. I got it. If you can move your slide to show the rezoning.
Sure. That one?
Yeah, that one there. There's a wash that crosses Vistosa Highlands and bisects that whole tract of land. And with the riparian zone, it appears that that whole tract of land can't be rezoned open space for development because you're encroaching on that wash and riparian zone. Now, I want to point out that the Pima County maps that maps this wash, the location is incorrect. You have to look at it in the field. And upstream of, well, at the stream crossing of Vistosa Highlands, you got two 15-foot pipe, arch pipes. So it's a fairly substantial flow that has to be accommodated. Plus, either side of that wash, you got somewhere between 6 to 8 feet of uplands. Plus, there appears to be, there may be some rock. So I just wonder how you're going to accommodate that.
Kevin, do you want to, can, do you mind?
Oh, we'll get the, Kevin, the, you'll have to come up here, sorry.
Sorry. So again, this is Kevin Hall from Rick Engineering. He is our engineer on this project.
Sure, so thanks. Yeah, basically, we are proposing to channelize that wash, continue the box culvert through that area until we get past where the parking is and the development is, and then it will dump out further downstream of where it currently dumps out. Obviously, it dumps out right south of the road, but that is part of the design we're working on right now, is just extending that drainage so it'll convey it further down past the development, under and then through. So that's how we're mitigating. So I don't know if you can, Daniel, address the riparian or.
So we'll have mitigation plans for that disturbance as part of that proposal.
Okay, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Wendy. What I'm wondering is these rental units, what will the leases look like? Are short-term rentals allowed? What are the constraints for people who are renting these apartments?
These are not intended at all to be short-term rentals. They'll be standard leases at 6 months or a year. No yet. Yeah, but they're not intended to be short-term rentals. Through the owner, it will be single owned. It won't be like, you know, a condo that individual owners would have to covenant or whatever against doing that. It would be controlled by the management company and the ownership of the community.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Morales. So I do have a few hands on Zoom. So Thaddeus, if I could get Greg Zerbrug unmuted, and then Charles Stack is on deck. Go ahead, Greg. Greg, are you there? I can see that you're unmuted. All right, why don't you hold on a sec, Greg? We'll circle back to you, see if we can get your microphone figured out. Thaddeus, could we do Charles Stack, please?
Hello, this is Charles Stack.
Yep, Charles, we can hear you. Go right ahead.
Thank you, and thank you for your presentation. Very impressive. Linda, I am the Environmental Planning Advisory Council representative for Oro Valley to the Pima Association of Governments. And so I always look at things. I'm also an Oro Valley resident. I always look at things through an environmental lens. And I want to say that I think that everything that you're proposing looks fine from my perspective as a consulting engineer and someone that works with water. My one question: in your online YouTube presentation, you mentioned that these apartments would be for an active adult lifestyle, I believe is the term you used, similar to the casita development. Will there be any age restrictions with these properties? We really need housing here for teachers and for people that work at the hospital. And I hope that, you know, we'll accommodate these folks. Thank you.
I really appreciate your comment, because after I said that, I realized active adult has a very special or particular meaning, like 55 and older, and that is not what we're proposing. This would be open to any age. So thank you for allowing me to clarify that. Yeah, that was a poor choice of words in the video.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Stack. Mr. Zerberg, are you available to speak? I see that you're still unmuted. Nope, it doesn't seem like it's working. I apologize, Mr. Zerberg. If you want to email your question to ask@oralvalleyaz.gov, we can certainly try and get an answer. Oh, now we can hear you.
Okay, great.
All right, please go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Let's see. I live in 755, right next door. I hate to say, you know, I'm not for development. Ross Rolney's supposedly a nice guy, but I don't want him around, actually. But it's going to decimate the views of people in our condo complex that's going to face west. They currently have a wonderful sunset view of the Tortolita Mountains. I'm afraid those views are going to go away, and it's going to have an impact on our whole complex. So if Ross Rolney would like to come talk to the condo association at 755 and meet with our people, that would be great, and I would appreciate it. So that's my two cents.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Ms. Morales, did you have anything? No? All right. Sorry, trying to multitask here. Anybody on this side of the room who has not had a chance to ask a question yet? Yes, sir.
Making you red.
Get your steps in, Jessica. Sorry.
Pardon me. I'm old. Hi, everybody. Thank you all for coming. My name is Joe Bell. My wife, Beth, and I live in Vistoso Highlands. Vistoso Highlands 1, actually, so we're definitely impacted. This question is directed, Ms. Morales, not just at your presentation tonight, but at your previous YouTube video as well. So, first of all, the settlement agreement, as I read it, it doesn't mandate the construction of 132. It limits the construction at 132. So, presumably, if there were 115 units, that would still be in compliance with the agreement. And I'd also have to assume that during the discussions and during the settlement agreement discussions, there must have been a contemplation for the pool and the clubhouse and that secondary parking lot. So the question really, given the fact that you could build fewer than 132, why couldn't the pool, the clubhouse, and that sliver small parking lot just be located on the original parcel? Then that sliver of land, as you called it, I think, would no longer need to be rezoned. And it would certainly somewhat mitigate all the traffic. And yeah, I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about the traffic. But, you know, in other words, why couldn't those three items just be built on the original parcel? Then we wouldn't need to rezone.
Well, we're here tonight to ask for the 132 units that was contemplated, and this is the way that it will work, and this is the way it financially makes sense for the developer. We're in a process, and we are asking for the 132 that was originally always part of the agreement. Yeah. I mean, it's not our ultimate decision. It's the town council's ultimate decision, but that is something that we've always held steady, that that's the number that Mr. Rowling needs to make this project work.
My name is Sue Dugan, and I would like to tag on the engineer's comment. Are you making any of these units deed restrictions as far as long-term rentals, short-term rentals? And are you going to have a manager's office on site that would handle any kind of rentals?
Thank you. Yeah, it is very much your traditional model of an apartment community. it's not set up for short-term leasing. It's longer leases, and there would be a management office on site. And in the clubhouse, right? Barack, is that, yeah, as part of that, the clubhouse, there would be a manager.
And Jessica, 1 second. I did want to just clarify something. So to your question about the maximum number of units and then the follow-up question. So, right, that settlement agreement limited that number to 132 units. What the settlement agreement did not include, and I think Ms. Morales did touch on this, was it did not include the rezoning associated right next door, right? So
correct.
That is a new ask by the property owner of town council. So that is an additional dynamic that was in addition to the settlement agreement. So just wanted to clarify and make sure that everybody's aware of that context.
Thanks, Mike.
Hello, my name is Patrick. I just am a little curious about how many apartment complexes are in and around Stelsa Highlands at this time.
We've got, I know along Vistoso Highlands there are three. The two right along, I'm going to blank on the name of the street, but as you're going towards Rancho Vistoso, I know you come across at least three on the way to Rancho Vistoso. Oh, condos. I'm sorry. I thought you said casitas. Excuse
yeah.
me. I'm not sure off the top. I'm happy to get back to you. No. Right. Okay. Sir?
Hi, Linda. Chris Westermeyer. Nice to
Hi.
See you.
Good to see you, Chris.
I just want to add to Alan's point and strongly emphasize the issues of noise pollution and safety for the existing residents. The traffic is already obscene. The safety is already bad. 132 more units is only going to exacerbate the situation. So it's important that we get some answers, because we all walk, we all cross the roads, we all come across javelinas, we have our dogs. We got these cement trucks, dump trucks, flying 40, 45 miles an hour, going in and out of Stone Canyon. It's not safe. The noise is beyond obscene, so we really need to figure out what we're going to do to mitigate those things. It's very, very important.
So I'm hearing it's an existing issue. I mean, and again, I don't want to harp on it, but this always was contemplated and is already zoned and permitted to have those 132 units. When the roads were designed originally, that was all part of the calculus of doing Rancho Vistoso as a master plan community. Yeah.
These are going to be issues that have to be addressed, because number one, safety is going to be an issue.
Yeah.
You understand the zoning, what's going to be done to address these issues with the noise and the safety of the existing residents?
So I can add that I'm actually part of the town's traffic safety committee. So we are aware of that issue, and I'm actually going to be bringing that up to our traffic safety committee at our next monthly meeting to look at it and see if there are any things that we can that can be done to try and alleviate some of the existing issues out there. So
yeah.
We will be looking at it.
I wasn't trying to be flippant. I'm saying there is an existing
sure.
issue that we need to deal with today as a community, I'm
right.
hearing. So, yeah,
so one,
noted.
Yeah,
yeah.
Thanks
construction for- traffic is, and until the community builds out, there's going to be some of that ongoing construction issues. Sorry.
Not a problem. Thanks for coming out to hear the concerns yeah. of the residents here. My name is Tim Keeland. I've been a resident here. I live about 150 feet from that new development for about 20 years. This year will be 20 years. Raised my family there. Extremely familiar with the community and the culture of the community. And I think the item that is catching most of us off guard the most is the fact that this proposal is so out of character with the community today. Now, you emphasize it's currently high-density residential, but I'd like to point you to your previous chart that shows my house just north of that property, also high-density residential, as I'm sure you're aware. Just because it's high-density residential doesn't mean that is acceptable given the way the entire community has currently been built out. I think it's out of the question. If that does proceed as an apartment complex like that, it will be the sore eye to the surrounding community. As mentioned previously, you will not find, that I'm aware of, anywhere in the town of Oro Valley, in a residential community,
apartments like that.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. You know, again, this whole property was purchased with that understanding and that knowledge, and that's what made, again, the preserve a reality. And it's a trade-off. So that's kind of where we're
at. Okay, I'm going to jump back to the Zoom folks real quick, just out of equity. So, Thaddeus, if we could have the participant with the last number of 2873, please make sure you're unmuted on your end. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, we can hear you. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Gail, and my husband and I live off of the Stoso Highlands Drive. And thank you for allowing me to speak. I'm going to speak on two issues. One is rezoning the open space, and the second is the traffic congestion, which we've already talked about, but I'm going to make a comment. First, I strongly encourage this council to reject the request to rezone to the open space to allow for a clubhouse to the pool. This will set a dangerous precedent. The neighborhood did not purchase this property and turn it over to the care of the city for the purpose of rezoning it to accommodate developers. Instead, it was purchased for the sole purpose of protecting the land from development. Please respect our trusted agreement. Secondly, regarding the accommodation of 246 parking spaces with addition of 31 overflow spaces, I would encourage the council to reject this extreme increase in traffic in and around an area surrounded by a nature preserve. Our backyard backs up to the Stoso Highlands, so we're acutely aware of the traffic congestion that is already present along this two-lane residential street. While not originally planned, the city has allowed all of Stone Canyon construction and contract labor, as well as residents, to use the back eight entrance off of the Stoso Highlands. As a result, we have construction diesel trucks lining up on the street Monday through Friday mornings, and then we suffer from every pool, pest, maid, landscape, and construction vehicle using that entrance throughout the day. You don't need a study to realize a two-lane residential road along a nature preserve should not have to accommodate the number of vehicles it currently is, and never mind allowing additional vehicles. And while the city has agreed with this developer to share an overflow lot of 31 spaces, I request that the council reevaluate that agreement and scale the shared parking lot to a much more reasonable size of maybe 10 vehicles. I will once again remind the council that the land that to be used was a golf course was purchased also by the residents and the Nature Conservancy. It was turned over to the city to protect it, not rezone it for development or direct an overabundance of vehicle traffic along its corridors. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You have anything? And folks, I would just ask, please refrain from clapping. It's not going to increase one decision. I mean, we're not making any decisions here tonight. Well, that's fine. If you want to do happy jazz hands or something, that's fine. But we're trying to keep it as efficient and productive a meeting as possible. So I would just politely ask that you not clap. We'll do one more online, and then we'll come back to the room. So Ellen Hong, if you could unmute on your end.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, I live off of the I'm about, I'll say about 5 minutes walk from the clubhouse. At any rate, I am quite familiar with the area. I just would like to raise a question. I just completed the survey, by the way, sent out by the township. It sounds like, you know, a lot of questions there were, the question is about, you know, do you think that is, you know, we have enough homes for, you know, do we need the rental homes, etc. And it to me sounded as though we need rental homes in Oro Valley or Rancho Vistosa community where we live. However, as many have spoken previous to me, the area is not set up for, you know, multi, you know, high density, you know, home development with one or two bedrooms. Even if such a build is allowed, I wonder what the going market rate is for those type of apartments. From what I've just, you know, recently been experienced to, this is 5 years ago when I was renting actually in Oro Valley, you know, alongside the Oracle Way, it was close to 2,000 for one bedroom apartment. So I'm wondering if the going rate is going to be somewhere around 2,000 for one bedroom or even more for two bedroom. What type of renters are we attracting or trying to attract to the area? So if we're speaking or seeing it from the equity perspective, I don't know what we're trying to achieve rather than availing short-term housing for those who want to live or maybe stay in the area for short term, you know, 6 months, right? Or 1 year. So that's my point of view. So, you know, I understand the traffic and I understand the concern for the nature and animals, you know, who are living, you know, and then constantly running to the deers and so forth, the animals, you know, during my walks and so forth, or just driving. But I just would like to see this, you know, whether proposing to have that built apartments, one or two bedroom, you know, high end, likely, right? Because the rent that is to be charged. What are we trying to achieve here, right? So that's just my thought on the table.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we've answered.
Okay. Ms. Hine, back there, and then we can come to this gentleman here and then up here.
My name is Chuck Davis. I live in Stone Village. I have for 18 years. This is probably more directed to staff than it is to the applicant, but there's a lot more involved in this street than traffic. The street is getting beat up by the heavy vehicles, which causes an increase in the cost of maintenance. The homes that are along close to this road, their stucco is constantly in a state of disrepair due to the weight of the vehicles. 18 years ago, I think the decision was made to make this the second entrance to Stone Canyon, and we've been the subject of all those decisions. It's not a good street currently. It's only going to get worse. A traffic study is wonderful, but how about safety? How about the condition of the streets? How about the homeowners that live along there? What's going to happen to their homes? I think this, you know, when this decision was made to buy this property, I was very excited by it. Now I'm finding out the price. This is not a good plan. This is just not a good plan. I've sat in zoning meetings where applicants would stand up and say, well, things have changed in the last 35 years. So we did zoning has to change because of it. Well, this has changed in the last 35 years, too. And you're sticking 230 cars into this unit, this traffic. There's no turnaround. I don't know where things are going to turn around here. I don't know where the school bus is going to get around here. It currently uses the Vistoso parking lot. All those things are going on. And then we have the applicant in his being very nice to us and giving us 30 spaces, which of course are not exclusively for use of the trail, but his residents can also use them. I think we've given these people enough. I think we've gone far enough with this, and I mean, where's the end? When's it going to stop? You do this, what's the next applicant going to ask for? Let's put an end to this kind of stuff. Thank you.
Okay.
If I could clarify one thing on the trailhead, that we aren't counting any of those spaces in the trailhead toward the required parking. The required parking is met all on the rest of the site. So just to make sure that's clear.
Okay.
The 30 spaces would be completely separate. Yes, they could park there, but why would they when they can park closer to their unit?
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Yes, right here.
Hi, my name's Ron. Once you get past the flagpole, Hidden Springs, it's straight on. There is no other way in or out of these communities. And it all ends at Stone Canyon. And a couple of things. Maybe Mr. Rolney could discuss with Stone Canyon the need for them to bring their truck traffic in by some other means, even if it has to be something new that they build. The other thing, as this gentleman mentioned, we have at least one bus stop right outside of our home, possibly another one. And right now, once they get past that flagpole, there is no place for a bus to turn around. So they go right where building number 3 is, and they make their little loop. That's something that I think you're going to need to think about. Thank you very much.
Okay. These two gentlemen right here, and then we'll jump back to Zoom. Any folks over there have other questions that haven't? Okay, we'll come right back over there as well.
Cool. My name is Bruce. I'm 865 West Bradford Canyon, basically across the street. And the traffic is something that I've watched because I walk my dog as everybody else does every day, and obviously seeing this traffic go through. And I've got many questions, but the one thing, looking at the, I understood, is 250 cars plus parking
spaces.
And spaces.
Parking spaces, yes.
Parking spaces plus the 30, so you're looking at 280. So you have 280 cars coming in trying to make a left-hand turn into 3 different entrances, and also at the speed that some of those come, even when you try to cross the street with your dog, you better look because it's somewhat blind, and you better pay attention, so between all the trucks and everything else. So is there any thought about either widening it, putting a turn lane in, if that's a possibility? Also, with the additional 280 cars, which I notice a lot of us that leave there, we don't all go out to Rancho Stoso. We use Hidden Springs, Pebble Creek, and Desert Fairway. So many of the folks in HOA 1 and all of us use that. So all this additional traffic cutting through those neighborhoods to get to Moore and La Canada. So that's even going to impact those and the school that's over there. And I even seen that even leaving every day, that cars that are coming out of Stone Canyon, that's all the direction we go. So it's a tremendous amount of cars for this street, and which is getting beat up on top of everything that's going on in Stone Canyon. So, you know, those are my questions and concerns.
Okay. Anything to add, Ms. Morales?
No, we've noted it, and we'll work on our application.
Okay. My name is Michael Kostjewski. I live at 13840 North Azure Springs Drive. I'm going to double up on what Tim said, and I also sent in these comments on May 15th mm-hmm. to the mayor and town council. The use of the property does not fit in with this area. I have not been able to find apartment buildings being zoned within a residential community. The 2 condominium units on Vistoso, and I have all the math in the letter, they're 2.13 times more land in the condominium units per unit than is being proposed here. They have from between 2.54 and 3.63 more parking spaces. So if you're going to have 1 and 2 bedroom units, I hope you have enough parking spaces. You know, couples usually all have 2 cars mm-hmm. and 132 units, you know, 2 bedrooms.
The parking fully meets the town's standards, which have been analyzed.
The standards, I'm just talking about it, that it'll meet.
If I may, the town does not allow us to go over those either. You have to hit those numbers. The town code requires us to hit those, so that's the number that's required.
But the density is, like I said, over 2 times per less.
We're admitting this is a different product than is currently there. That's why
I know,
it's an
and that's why I'm saying it doesn't fit the community.
Mm-hmm. We think it will complement it. I know you don't agree.
yes, I don't. And there is no the typical apartment buildings are found on major thoroughfares, not in residential communities. And that's just totally.
I understand what you're saying, and I believe that we need housing diversity in this community, and we need more housing. And this is a solution in an area that's already zoned for it. Respectfully disagree.
Okay, we'll take this gentleman in the blue shirt and then the gal in the pink shirt back there. We'll come up to you.
Ms. Morales, when you mentioned earlier when we were talking about the number of units that that's all been factored in, that's all been decided, and that's all been part of the original piece, right? Why is it now that you need an additional rezoning to make this work when apparently it would have worked before? Why now do you need this? It doesn't sound like that was actually factored in appropriately at the first.
It was an opportunity.
At the first time.
Well, it was an
finish?
Opportunity.
I thought this was a question
itself.
And answer. I didn't think this was a debate. I thought I could just finish my question.
Okay. No, I was just answering your
Well,
question.
Okay, good.
Okay, go ahead.
So you had this all figured out, and now you need more space because you really didn't have it figured out, right? Because it doesn't work without this, according to the developer. Now it's profitable only if you get this worked out. That doesn't make any sense to me, so I think that's a bunch of baloney. The other part is this would be the biggest slap in the face to the community should the town decide to disrespect the fact that we helped purchase this area and to rezone it into something we had no intention to do. It would be a huge disrespect to everybody that's here and everybody that lives in the neighborhoods, and would be very disappointing, and we'd see a lot of town council in their final, you know, year of service.
Okay, point. The pink shirt in the back and then the white shirt here, and then we'll jump back online, and then I see a couple hands over there.
The land that's contemplated to be rezoned, who owns that?
Ms. Morales?
Mr. Rolney owns it.
I'm sorry, the developer owns
that? The developer owns it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's currently zoned open space. I would be against rezoning any open space land so that 132 units can have a swimming pool, but that's just my thoughts.
Okay.
My name is Lynette Mock, and actually, Ms. Morales, you and I have spoken before, mm-hmm. At which time you told me that this land, we can do whatever we want with it. We have the right to put apartments on it.
We do.
And at that time, I said to you, you may have the right, but is it the right thing to do? I have heard compatibility. Is it compatible with the area? They turned down zoning for a, what do we call it, storage shed, where Miss Ivy Jones said it's not compatible with the neighborhood. This is not compatible with our neighborhood. Whether you, I know you think it's great, and you, and I'm sure the builder is a great guy, but this is not compatible with our neighborhood. And with the traffic study that you said you will be doing, I would courteously respect, ask you to do it in November through the winter. It cannot be done in the summer. If it is done in the summer, it is totally skewed. And I guess those are my comments. I am absolutely not for rezoning that property. If you want to have a swimming pool and you want to have a recreational center, you should have thought of that. Take one of your buildings away and put it there. Thank you.
I'm going to help out my friend Linda on a couple of these. My name is Ross Rolney. I'm sorry. Is that better?
You're just taller than I am.
Okay. Sorry if you can't hear me all. Speak louder. I'd like to correct the narrative on a couple things that I've been hearing, and I'll try to bust through as many as I can remember. As far as the gentleman's suggestion that this project is limited to 132 units, it's 132 units I suggest are allowed. It's not limited to that. The negotiation on this project, the density actually started off at around 150 units and three stories, and it was negotiated over time for a lot of different reasons, and 132 is the number we came up with, so that's what's allowed. Sir, your suggestion or accusation that we may not have known what we were doing at the very beginning, you could not be more correct. I'm sorry? I heard your question initially. I'm going to respond to it, but if you want to state it again, I'll be patient. I'm sorry? No, I heard it, and I'm up here to respond to it.
He's trying to respond to it, sir. Okay.
No, you said that we did not know what we were doing, and I acknowledge that. We did not at the time. So we worked in good faith and created an agreement that allowed certain flexibilities along the way because we didn't understand the site as I would normally understand a site going into a project. And the reason why I didn't is because the time wasn't allowed. I was brought into this project for, a few reasons. One, I think I've shown in the Oro Valley community or any project that I've done in Tucson, whether we agree or not, I keep my word and I do what I say I'm going to do. I think that's one reason. Maybe the more significant reason or more important is that I was willing to act and perform quickly without a lot of things understood. So we worked on an agreement that would narrow it down in height, bring it down in height, bring it down in density to make, in my opinion, a financially feasible investment. This is a relatively small development in unit size. And so it was a leap of faith for me at the end to agree to 132 units, but I got myself so far in and so many, and I will say this, it's an unusual situation. Actually, for maybe 5 minutes of this process, I felt like the hero. I know those 5 minutes have come and gone. The HOA, you know, when we met and we appeared in front of the HOA, or I appeared in front of the HOA, it was approved unanimously with probably more clapping than I've even heard here tonight. There was a big problem with what was going on legally. I wasn't a part of the any of that drama. I was brought in to add capital and play a role of the fourth piece of the puzzle, along with the conservation group, along with the Canadian Bank, and I guess the HOA and the town of Oro Valley. So it is as far as adding this, we call it the sliver of property, that was anticipated during the process. It was not anticipated at the beginning because we just assumed, all right, we'll get there on 132 units. When we were forced with open space issues and setbacks and parking and recreation, we realized we couldn't. That's why we worked some of the language into this agreement to give me some flexibility that I normally would understand going in, but I did not understand at that time. That is why some of the language in the agreement allows for flexibility, allows for reasonable zoning adjustments, or, you know, I can't exactly remember the language in the agreement. There's a reason why that sliver of property that I purchased at, later in the process was included and recorded with the other documents that were all agreed upon and signed off. This is an approved project. I would never put up this kind of money hoping to get certain entitlements. It was just too much, too fast. So I just wanted to give a little bit of the background, and let me, a couple other comments that I've heard is the short term. I don't have any short term product. But I will tell you, it's a monitoring. I forgot, maybe it was one of the ladies that expressed some concern over short term. But I'm not going to lie and say that we don't have management issues that or tenants that go into default on their lease because they're leasing a unit out as an Airbnb. We monitor to the best we can. We search Airbnbs. I have a project that used to be a monastery on Country Club. We've had issues there. We talk to the tenants. We try to get them to stop, or we remove, you know, terminate the lease. But it is an issue, and it's a management issue. I think, I'm not sure if I covered everything, but I covered the stuff that I think I wanted to speak to.
Please ask you a question.
Of course.
When you first purchased this, we were all very excited because we were told this is going to be an extension of the casitas. Perfect. Perfect. You have seven buildings. You could put six condos in there, and it would fit with the community.
But it wouldn't be financially feasible. And I would not have gone into the, like it or not, I would not have entered into the agreement. I would have just kept my business. And
okay. Thank you, Mr. Rolney, for clarifying some of those questions. So
I just have a concern. I walk there almost every day, and I'm concerned about the parking. If you're giving 30 spaces to the neighborhood to park there, I'm not sure that's enough. But also, while I've been walking the last couple of months, I have run into at least five people a week who come from out of the neighborhood, who have maps in their hands, and they come from different locations. I don't know if it's been publicized that this is now a conservation area for people to walk, but there's a lot of people coming in from outside the neighborhood that say, oh, this is a new park. Let's go look. So the 30 spaces being allotted for the neighborhood is not going to be enough because it's not just the neighborhood that you're accommodating. So are there any plans? Now, you said the 30 spaces were also for overflow from the apartments. How many this is not going to work if you've got so many people using those 30 spaces.
So we actually had a larger parking lot the last iteration, and then in working with the staff, with Parks and Rec staff and the Conservation Fund, we were asked to go ahead and do the 30, which was the same as what the Conservation Fund's plan for the preserve showed. So we actually reduced it. Do you remember how many we had before, guys?
I think it was 50.
50, yeah, so we took it down.
Okay, Ms. Hind, I'm going to jump back onto Zoom real quick, and then I know we've got a couple hands here who have been patiently waiting. So, Thaddeus, could we get Matt Lingard?
Hi, can you guys hear me?
We can. Go right ahead, sir.
Great, thank you. Yeah, I'll just really echo some of the comments that have already been made, just to kind of plus one on them. I think it's really, for me, driven by traffic. I live right across the street from the development in Javelina Springs Place. We have three children in junior high and high school, and the car speed's a significant concern on the street and the density of traffic. Not long ago, was out with my daughter. She was on her roller skates, and I was walking with her, and we were crossing the street, and a car came speeding down the street, and my daughter was so scared by that she fell in the middle of the street while the car was coming, and it was well above the speed limit for the street. I know this isn't the developer's specific concern, but I think it's something that's a significant concern for the residents in the area. Echoing again the blind turns, and then as well the school bus, that there is no turnaround for the school buses, and this could have a big impact on the children who live in the area if they have to walk much further to catch the bus because it can't come down our street anymore.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Anything to add, Ms. Morales? So we will work with, we will reach out to AmFi School District as part of this application and get their feedback, because I know that's a question that's come up a couple of times. So they will be part of the review process. So if we could have Kay Cheney unmuted, please. And folks, we are getting close to the 7:30 deadline here. So with the group's permission, is everybody comfortable going until 8 o'clock? Because it appears we still have plenty of questions to answer. So that's obviously, feel free to get up and leave if you've got something to do, but just wanted to ask the group's permission before we did that. So Thaddeus, Kay Cheney, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for this time. I do have three questions, but before I do that, I have sent a written concerns as well as recommendations. I do agree with several people said the proposal is out of character with the development of the area. I did provide money to the preserve for this process, and I also was told that the development would be like casitas and basically like the other ones on the south side of the street, casita townhouses. So I feel like I put money in there and I'm being sold a bill of goods. My questions for the developer are three things. Are there any requirements for low-income housing set-asides?
No.
Number one. Question number two is, what are the size of the 1 and 2 bedroom units? And question three, what's the target price of the 1 and 2 bedroom units?
Okay, thank you. Ms. Morales?
So answer number one is no. No low income set-asides. Question number two, I'm looking at our architect, and do you have those figures? And number three, we do not have estimates of rent at this point. It's where we haven't even submitted for the application, so yeah. So 1 bedrooms are 884 square feet? Average, yeah. And 1,250 square feet average for the 2 bedroom units.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Morales. So this gentleman there has been patient, and then right here in the
Bob
patient.
Padgett, we live on Hidden Springs Drive, and for 20 years we owned units at 755 Vistosa, so we've been here a long time. And we're also members of Stone Canyon on the sports membership. This road ends up at Stone Canyon. And they're building 182 new homes in there. You're going to have traffic and trucks and all sorts of crap in there for the next 8 years while they're building those. Coming up that road, there's only two ways in and out of Stone Canyon, and one of them ends right three blocks from these apartments. So it's crazy.
Okay. Again, existing concerns that sure. I think the town's saying they're addressing or working okay. on. Thank
so
you.
This gentleman in the blue shirt, and then we can go to you, ma'am, in the white shirt.
Yes, my name is Dick Serwick. I have a couple of points, if you would, please. Reviewing the casitas along Vistoso Highlands Drive, you have three units currently there, and one of them has 8 buildings, another 13, and another 22. So this is the smallest unit that's going to be there. But they're going to have, most of the units have 4 or 6 people in a building. This one's going to have roughly 18. So you got 18 people jammed into these buildings to get your 32. That's 3 times the number of people in the unit. Secondly, excluding Vistoso, or not Vistoso, Splendido, this is the highest density north of Tangerine. There are no other complexes, no other structures, so you are jamming the highest number of people in this area that Oro Valley has north of Tangerine.
I haven't checked that also, item, yeah.
Sorry?
No, I trust your numbers. Yes, I'm not disagreeing, yeah, that we have higher density.
The other thing is simply, it sounds to me like if 132 has been decided upon, number one, I'd like to know who decided this for the community, because I don't recall any city council meetings where this came up or I was invited to any meetings that came up with the zoning within our area that we live in. None of that came up. Lastly, it sounds to me like the only thing we have any tool is to turn down the zoning so that what's being applied for is rejected. Thank you.
So, yes, white shirt over here. So I can touch one of your questions, sir. So the 132 number comes from that settlement agreement that we talked about as part of the initial presentation, right? And so because that's a legal agreement, that was done in executive session with town council, so it was not done during a public hearing or in an open meeting. So that's where that agreement came from. So if you're just wondering where it originated, that's where it came from. So that's why there wasn't a public component to it, because
so the
it's
city felt no need to involve the residents of the community that lived there?
Well, I'm by no means going to... Yeah, I'm definitely not going to try and answer for town council, but because it was a legal document, it had to be done in executive session from a legal perspective. So, I'm sorry. Right, yeah.
Do we have access to the thermostat, Mike? I thought it was just me up here in the front. It's hot.
Thanks. Hi, everyone. I'm Bayer Vella, the town's planning manager. I want to address the zoning because I think there's a bit of confusion about the numbers and where they came from.
A town council approved the zoning in 1987. Okay? That's where 133 units were permitted. It's a legally permitted use. And I understand the concern about compatibility, that's valid, but the decision was made by town council in 1987. The settlement agreement that just came recently essentially reflected that existing zoning right, okay, less one unit. So my hope is that, just to help clarify, there shouldn't be a mystery as far as where the zoning came from. 1987, before anything was built in this area at all, in one fell swoop, the planned area development went before the Pima County Board of Supervisors, and was the zoning was approved, and it was annexed into the town with that zoning, way back before many of us were here in Oro Valley, including myself. So that's where the zoning came from.
So
I just
Stone
want to make
Canyon
sure that was clear.
Wasn't there then?
I'm sorry?
Stone Canyon wasn't there in 1987.
Stone Canyon wasn't there.
Well, see, that's the big bugaboo here with the traffic situation. That's I mean, even for people that would say, I can live with the apartments.
Mm-hmm.
That traffic on a two-way street, you just have to be here at 5:45, 6 in the morning and hear all of those trucks going by. Now we're talking about all those cars. We're mm-hmm. talking about people that love bicycling up here.
Sure.
You've got school children now and a bus that can't turn around once it gets past the flagpole. There's a myriad of things that are all about traffic.
I agree, and I'm glad you brought that back up again, because I'm going to touch on that as well. I want to clearly, because I don't think it's been done yet in this meeting, acknowledge there's a problem with traffic, construction traffic, okay? There is. A gentleman showed me, I knew, I'd heard there was an issue, but a gentleman before this meeting showed me a video of how backed up it was, all right? That's an issue the town needs to address, okay?
It's just getting worse.
I hear you. It's bad now. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of backup. And I do empathize with the neighbors that are directly dealing with us. I was not aware it was that significant of an issue till tonight. So I appreciate that coming forward. Mr. Spaeth and I are going to work with the town engineer as well as Oro Valley Police Department to work on addressing this issue directly. So the second neighborhood meeting, please be here. My aim is to have some answers about that issue, okay? But I wanted to make sure that you guys understand that we hear you. That is a problem, and it needs to be addressed regardless of this development, okay?
Thanks.
Sorry to jump into the middle of the meeting like that.
Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Well, I'm regressing here a little bit, back to the proposed plan, and it seems like maybe a small thing, but how large is that pool? And was that part of the original proposal? We're looking at a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people using a pool.
Can we have a square footage?
So the pool is it's currently in design. What you're seeing right there are the concepts, not the final design of the pool. That's kind of one of the last details that's crafted. We don't design the pool before. You know, we've got the zoning and development package together, so it's still a work in process.
Okay, but you have to factor in the amount of people that are in those units.
We do. I mean, that's absolutely working with the pool contractor.
Which means you're
going
to put in an Olympic pool.
No, it won't be an
Olympic pool. It's a pretty substantial-sized pool, though.
Again, it's just noise. Pollution. Noise,
okay.
Pollution.
Thank you. If you'll grab the gal behind, and then Councilmember Bowen has politely been patient as well.
My name is Judy Davis, and I live in Stone Village. And while I respectfully request that the town not approve this zoning change, should it be approved, I would ask that it, and because the developer has planned for enough parking spaces within their own area, within what they own, that there not be access to the trailhead from the apartments.
Thank you. So, Councilmember Bowen, Ms. Hind, and then we'll come over here. I know if you've been patiently waiting. Thank you.
My name is Councilmember Bowen. I'm the one that sits on the end there. Maybe you could come over here so I could face most of the people. And I want to dispute some of the things that were offered by the landowner. I was part of the negotiations. The way we got to 132 is 21 units per acre, 6 acres. We started with 132. As you can see, it doesn't work. We filled it with dwellings, but there's no pool, there's not enough parking, and as you see at the bottom, there's no drainage. So this story that Mr. Rolney came in and rescued us, it's false. Standing right behind Michael Spaeth, former Mayor Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, he negotiated this thing. And you guys should be very, very concerned. It never worked. But the entitlements were given to the landowner. And now we have to figure out how to make this thing work. But there was no 145, 150 that was allowed. I asked that question to Buyer Vela. The calculation is 132 or 133. What we did is basically we created something that doesn't work. So you're here not by accident. You're here by design. We are always going to come to this point where everybody looks up and goes, how does this work? So stay awake on this one. Stay alert. And ask your town staff how we got here. I was not allowed to participate in this negotiation the way I wanted to. I saw the problem very early on, that we had stuffed the whole land area with dwellings, and it just didn't work. But Mr. Rothschild wanted to make this thing work, to bring the whole deal together. But in the end, right, if you don't see the other sucker at the table, you're the sucker at the table. And that's what has happened to you guys. So I appreciate that you guys came out here and you woke up as soon as possible, because it's a non-viable project as is. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we'll have one over here, Jessica, and then I do have a couple of folks who've been patiently waiting on Zoom as well. Want to make sure you get your steps in. Sorry, over here in the colorful dress.
Hi, so I'm Tracy, and I live across the street at Bow Creek Springs, and I have two things. One, I wholeheartedly agree that if you are giving and designating parking for the reserve, your apartment complex should not have access to it. And you're only building it in that spot to make it more convenient for your asphalt continuation when it was agreed upon to be further west. And if it's supposed to be for the reserve only, then move it further west, because we don't want to compete with apartment dwellers in order to go over to our reserve parking. There is very little direct access to the reserve from the way this is laid out. We have to walk completely through that apartment complex to get to the trails to take our dogs across hot asphalt, getting through different vehicles and avoiding cars in order to get to the reserve safely. So you need to put a gate there if it's going to stay there, because that should be our parking space, not your residence. If they have enough parking spaces, they don't get the 30 that are designated to us. There needs to be a gate or a wall or something that does that. Secondly, with the town council saying that it was approved in 1987 for 132 or high density over here, that was before there were multi-million dollar houses being built at the end of our street. And that needs to be taken into consideration, that this is not South Tucson. You have multi-million dollar houses. I grew up in South Tucson, so I can say it. So watch that comment, please. This girl came from Sunnyside School District, so if you want to say something, you go right ahead. But otherwise, keep your comments to yourself.
I didn't say anything.
Yes, you did. You mouthed the words, wow, as soon as I said that. I watched you.
If we could dial it back just a little bit. So one thing I'd like to just point out is I realize that the context has changed, but to echo what Mr. Vela said, when that zoning is approved and it's entitled, the town cannot say no. If you're building within what is entitled and allowed for your HDR in this case, we can't legally say no. We have to figure out a way to make that work and mitigate those impacts as much as possible. So the dance here is this does have a rezoning component to it that is not entitled. So that's, if you'll recall on my slides at the beginning of this presentation,
The area in red is already allowed for apartments or multifamily. So we're trying to figure out how to best make that work to make it as compatible as possible. So that's our charge when reviewing it as staff. So I just wanted to add that clarity out there. Is there anybody? Oh, we're going to jump on Zoom. I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought there. So Thaddeus, if we could get the Zoomer on 4554 to unmute, please. Can you hear us?
Hello. Hi. Yes, can you hear me?
We can, yes. Hi. Please, go right ahead.
Hi, this is Teresa Morrow and Jerry Lounsbury, and we live in Viscoso Highlands 1. We've been here for 21 years, and we echo so much of what has already been said. And Councilmember Bowen, thank you so much. You nailed it. And I guess in hearing that this was zoned for this high density 35 years ago and so much has evolved, where's the logic with any of this? And I will reiterate what others have said, Gail, Tim Keelan, Joe Bell. It's not compatible with the neighborhood. And there should absolutely not be any rezoning to allow for further encroachment upon the land there. And I think it was Tracy who just said the parking for even the trailhead shouldn't, why would you add it there on top of all this other stuff? It makes no sense. So, and we are also residents who contributed to the preserve. And, you know, we thought we were creating an environment here compatible with the neighborhood, and now we find out this. So, and others have said, also being here 21 years, we heard it had been zoned for an extension of the condos that already exist. So to hear that it's, all, you know, 132 apartments shocked us. And again, we just can't understand it. And then others have said about the safety issues, the excessive traffic, the noise pollution. This just isn't fathomable, and we don't understand. So in coming up with options, it seems we need to go down a path of a legal option or something, because this makes absolutely no sense to put it in there. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments, Ms. Morales. Anything? Okay. Thaddeus, could we please have Rosa Daly unmuted, and I apologize if I'm butchering your last name.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can, yes. Please go right ahead.
Hi, this is Rosa Daly. I'm an Oro Valley resident. I also live on the preserve, but I am not in this location. But I was very involved in the process, and I hear how upset everyone is, and I completely understand you know, the emotion, because it has been a long haul for all of us who have anything to do with this property. So I'm just going to ask for some clarifying questions. I know somebody just touched on the parking, and I just want to clarify that the parking is being placed on a legal easement that Mr. Rolney has. And maybe you could confirm that for everyone here. And that easement was part of the negotiations, 1.5 acres, to allow Mr. Rolney to pay top dollar for that 6-acre parking lot, which he paid way more than it was appraised for when the deal fell through the first time. So we had a greedy property owner, a very greedy property owner who wanted a certain number. And to accommodate that number, Mr. Rolney requested and received an easement of 1.5 acres. Now, he's using both locations. There was an easement location and then an alternate location. I believe he's using half of the 1.5 for the parking lot for the preserve. And then he's using the remaining on the alternate location, which I understand you're also moving the cart path, so we can get some clarification on that. And are the people who live in Center Point North aware of that? Because I'm trying to be very sensitive to anyone who thinks things are one way and then finds out they're another way. I mean, it's just an emotionally charged situation because, you know, the only way this deal was going to go through is if somebody came and paid way more than that parking lot was appraised for. And that's how we got here. But separating the parking, addressing the parking that's also very close to Center Point and moving that path, anything you can do to kind of calm people down a little bit would be greatly appreciated, because this has been a draining, horrific experience for everyone here. So it's hard for us to have any heroes, because, you know, we all bought in a certain area believing a certain thing, and we have been through hell, and then we opened our checkbooks on top of that. So let's clarify if we could separate that parking, because if you have enough with what you've got with the alternate location on the easement, can we separate that one off Vistoso Highlands Drive and just talk to how you're moving that cart path and on the west end? That's really all I have.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much, Ms. Morales.
I can offer some clarification on that. The 1.5 acre piece in question is the tenant parking that is to the south. The trailhead parking is a separate agreement that, and Ross just walked up, so he may want to answer this, but that location was as a result of meetings with again, Parks and Rec staff, with the Conservation Fund and town leadership. They had it in one place further west. We had it next to Ross's parcel, and it was agreed at the end of a couple of meetings that was the preferred location. It wasn't necessarily our choice. It was a collective choice, and the size as well. And Ross.
So we could cram in 132 units into that original piece. I'm going through the additional expense of buying surrounding property, not to increase the density. 132 is 132. I'm going through the additional expense by purchasing additional real estate that is available to me for sale. And I did reach out to the HOA space on the other side of the property to see if they would sell me some, to spread this out a little bit, to make the building smaller, to have more smaller buildings. But it's not possible. I've tried on every side of this property to expand, again, not the density. 132 is 132. And I'm pretty sure I was the only one in the room during these negotiations that's here tonight. And so respectfully, it did start off at a number much higher than 132. I'm not saying you agreed with it, but the negotiations and the conversation started, and I take copious notes, and there's communications that suggest the same. It did start higher, and then it worked its way down, because ultimately it had to stay lower than 133. I understand that.
I want the public to know, I asked Buyer Bell where that number 145 comes, and I have a council report. It's 133.
I'm not suggesting you're wrong on your code. I'm not suggesting I didn't get the maximum. Actually, maybe I could have gotten 133. But at that time, we were working with trying to create a financially feasible project. And 132 or 133 at the time didn't seem feasible. It's gotten even more difficult, hence the reason why I've taken the additional risk and tried to purchase a neighboring parcel, because the other side, again, wasn't available. Actually, the other side would have been preferable, but it's not for sale and it's not available to me. So I'm not suggesting I would have received anything over 133 or 132. I'm talking about where the conversations were taking place.
I can explain to them, when you build a complex, you have to allow for recreation and parking. You can't just build.
And as I stated earlier, we were working and created a document, created a settlement agreement, I guess that's what it's called, that gave me certain flexibilities and opportunities, because we did not understand it at that time. I was brought in because I was willing to perform quickly given the set of circumstances, or to be that last piece of the puzzle to get this big mess resolved. I was called in. I didn't ask for this property. I didn't ask to purchase this property. The town brought me in. So there was some good faith, a lot of good faith, but then a lot of agreements built in that could cover us as we move forward with a better understanding of the agreement. In fairness to Mr. Vella, I'm not sure he was a part of it at that time either.
He was certainly part of me asking.
Oh, I can't speak to that. I wasn't in that room.
Okay, if we can, you mind if we keep moving? Did you have one more point? Go ahead.
The caller had the question about the trail, the path.
Oh, right. Go ahead.
And yes, ma'am, it would be moved further south. If you look, it says new sidewalk on the plan at the bottom of the drawing. There is still a pretty big separation. I can get you the number of feet at the next meeting between that and the closest homes to the south. So I hopefully that won't have a major impact on anybody living there for moving it a few feet down.
Okay, great. Thank you. So we have one last Zoom question. We'll use that, and then we'll see if there's another question here in the room for anybody who hasn't had an opportunity to ask. So Thaddeus, if we could have Regina.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
We can. Yes. Please go right ahead.
Great. My name is Regina Douglas, and I live in Stone Village. Our home borders of Estoso Highlands. I have a couple of questions that I don't believe have been addressed yet. One is, can the developer give us a timeline on the project, when he anticipates breaking ground, and how long the build-out will entail? And my next question is in regards to the wildlife. I think we need to do a wildlife mitigation survey and make sure that, you know, all the animals are protected as best as possible. Many of the animals cross Vistoso Highlands during the night. They come over to our side of the street, and I anticipate there being many incidents with animals and cars and so forth, unless some measures are taken to try and protect the animals. And finally, one of the officials did mention the issue with Stone Canyon, not directly an issue with the developer. However, this is not the first time that our neighbors have discussed the traffic with Stone Canyon. It's been brought up to the city council years and years ago, and we were basically shot down and told that that's what Vistoso Highlands is, a thoroughfare, and they've been granted access to that, and that was the end of it. So, you know, we've been complaining about this traffic for years and years. It's not something new. Thank you.
Sure. And I will, before I turn it over to you, I'll just reiterate, we are aware of the traffic issue. I don't know what the resolution may or may not be, of course, but we are going to take a look at it and see if there's something that can be done. So we hope to have an answer for. We appreciate that. Yep. But we will see if we can get an answer for you guys at the second neighborhood meeting. But yes, Ms. Morales, there were a couple for you.
Yeah, I think there was the question about the timeline. This is the beginning. Like Mike said at the beginning, we have not even submitted an application at this stage. So we have a good 6 months-ish, 6-7, something like that ahead of us for the zoning and the development plan that's going through. And then after that, then there'll be some improvement plans, architectural building plans. And so groundbreaking, what are you looking at, Ross, like time-wise, earliest? Yeah, like beginning of 24. And then we've noted the wildlife concerns.
Yes, thank you. And so now we are getting close. Oh.
And one other comment. This was approved and entitled for a three-story product. That was another significant part of the negotiations, to reduce it from a three-story to a two-story. And that played a huge role in the open space or lack thereof that you see there. The original entitlements that existed restored by, but the conservation group and the town wanted that reduced to a two-story product. The result is what it is.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rolney. So now that we're getting close to the end of the meeting, I'd like to offer, is there anybody who has not had an opportunity to ask a question that would like to? I know there are a couple of folks who have asked one that would like another one, but if I just want to make sure everybody who wanted to had an opportunity. I don't see any hands going up, so I know. Oh, actually, there is a new one over here. Sorry, last minute. I couldn't see you behind him. No, I'm kidding.
Who in their right mind would build a million-dollar home next to 800-square-foot rentals? But that's what's happening. All across the street is all million-dollar homes. Does the town have any obligation to preserve our value?
So I can certainly tell you that one of the primary review criteria that the staff will be using is compatibility, yes. Now, as I stated earlier, the portion, the 6.02 acres of the larger 6.76, is already zoned HDR. So they have the entitlement and right to build a multifamily product. The town cannot say no. What we can do is work with the developer on trying to design it in a way that meets code, is as compatible as possible, and mitigates. And I realize that may not be an answer that you are going to be okay with, but we have a charge, too. We have to provide due process. We have a certain limitations we have to work within as a government organization. And our charge is to try and make it as compatible as possible. So, yes, we do absolutely look at that.
This is one step above Section 8 housing. How are you going to make that compatible with $1 million?
Well, ma'am, we will do everything we can to try and make it as compatible as possible. So that's all I can tell you.
Just before we leave, I just want to make a comment. I personally don't have any, I don't live in this area. I'm one of those people that drive in and walk the golf course. But I've been in the real estate business and minor development for over 40 years. Just because something is zoned for something specific, it doesn't mean you're going to get to build it. And I'll tell you why I'm hearing all these comments around here. These people get together and go after you on a lawsuit. He who has the most money always wins. And they can bleed a developer dry. So I think the casino idea of this just doesn't fit. I mean, I feel sorry for all these people in the room here because it doesn't fit the neighborhood. And I must apologize. I'm one of those people that does exceed the speed limit occasionally along that road, but it doesn't fit. And I think the developer should really sit down with this gentleman here and these people here and come up with something that really fits. I mean, my little town in Colorado, they've been fighting in lawsuits for years on one specific parcel similar to this. It doesn't fit. And because the zoning is there, doesn't mean you're going to get to do what you want to do. Thank you.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and end on that note because we're getting close to the end here. But I did want to point out a couple things for folks. You don't have the privilege of looking at the Zoom list that I've been looking at all night, but we have had other council members in addition to Council Member Bowen, as well as other commissioners on the Planning and Zoning Commission who have also been listening to the conversation tonight. So I do want you to be aware that your comments, your concerns have been heard by those folks, okay? And so, again, the list that Ms. Sims had up here is also going to be forwarded to those folks. And actually, this meeting, this video that you've been seeing behind me, as well as our PowerPoints for this evening, have all been recorded, and they're going to go on this project's webpage on OV Projects, too. So if you know somebody who couldn't come tonight and who is interested, I please ask you to point those folks to OV Projects, and they can go and watch the meeting at their leisure as well. So moving forward, I just want to kind of point out what the next steps are for folks. So, of course, we're at tonight's first neighborhood meeting. We do anticipate a formal submittal coming in, and then, again, we'll have that back and forth with the applicant. on reaching code conformance. We will have a second neighborhood meeting. Again, if you didn't get a yellow postcard and you want to be notified in the future, make sure that you're signed in, or you can send your name and email or address to that email address down there at the bottom, ask@orovalleyaz.gov, and we'll make sure that you're notified of the upcoming meetings. And then again, commission and council are both opportunities for public input. So I want you to be aware there are plenty of opportunities for public engagement as part of this process. Again, I just leave you with, this is the contact information for Ms. Hine, our constituent services coordinator. If you've got other questions or thoughts or concerns that come up after this, please feel free to email those to her. They get forwarded to me and get put in the project file, and they also get forwarded on to council members as well. So I strongly encourage you to use her as a resource, and keep an eye out for that yellow postcard of the second neighborhood meeting, and we'll see you back here. I really appreciate your time, and everybody on Zoom, I appreciate your time as well. Thank you. Have a nice evening.